the Count, episode 12. Jose Tabuada, Sam Pierce. We are 2 weeks away to WWE Royal Rumble.
Finally.
Yahoo.
6 weeks between pay-per-views. I don't know what to do with myself with all this spare time.
I gave you Unforgiven for a reason.
Yeah, but, I mean, that does not stack up to the quality of action we will see in 2 weeks at the Royal Rumble.
Already a lot of participants are drawing their names into the mix. Crazy week at Raw. I can't wait for the Rumble. I mean, I am so pumped, mainly because... Like, I mean, I'm planning the big Royal Rumble party I'm having at my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Wings. Frank became chef and is doing wings.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you have wings, beer, it's the per... And you pair that with 30 men in Speedos going over the top rope, that's a party, you know, if I've ever seen one.
Like, I guess, now that you put in that aspect. So, yeah, so another crazy week in the WWE. We're going to start this things off, actually, with... A bit of sad news, rather. Last night on the Tuesday, January 14th, we lost a legend. Last week, Mae Young was taken off life support. We expected to hear it any minute, and she unfortunately last night passed away at the age of 90. And yeah, they lost a legend. It was a tough pill to swallow to hear that last week.
Yeah,
last night rather.
I was sure she was gonna. Be the oldest woman ever to live in the history of the world.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because she was just such a trooper, you know, such a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Huge loss for the industry. So many of the female wrestlers have looked up to her as an influence.
For sure.
And as a role model. She inspired so many people. And it just goes to show you, you know, what... a great work ethic looks like, you know. She came in and day out and worked her ass off.
Yeah.
And did so many things that other people would have refused to do for the entertainment of us, the fans, right?
I don't know if you saw, like, the video package that WWE made for Mae Young shortly after she passed away. Fabulous Moolah, who we also lost a couple years ago, she said, you know, she's been wrestling for 8 decades. Nobody wrestles for 8 decades. I mean, look,
no.
Mae Young still popped up in the Attitude Era. She popped up. New Year's Revolution. She popped up in a lot of recent things. And so, I mean, we know her, at least us fans, Sam and I, as the young, creepy old woman who you don't want to mess
yeah.
with or you don't want to get near.
We didn't see her live in her prime.
Exactly.
Right?
And the WWE highlighted that very well. They had a package showing all her time as, like, you know, with the championship, with, like,
yeah.
all their moves and all this. It was really great to see that, to see, like, you know, there was a younger side to Mae Young. So,
oh, yeah, no question. And even when she was in her later years, she was still young at heart. You know what
yep.
I mean? She'll never lose that. And it's just really unfortunate that she's had to, you know, part ways with yep. this world.
So our condolences and our condolences to the family of Mae Young and, of course, to the WWE Universe, because I know we're all mourning together. On a lighter note, so we just have wanted to get that first before we go on with the main content of our show, because that's really big. This and Loneliness is a wrestling podcast. Now, to After the Count content. in the first couple of months that we started doing this, obviously there is a girl that we keep mentioning named Shanice Williams. You know, very attractive, very beautiful girl.
Very nice young lady.
Awesome friend of ours. She has a habit of popping up in our window. So, like, I mean, so if you were to look at our radio setup right now, for example, we have here our control room. Or seats, and then there's a glass-tinted window. We can see clear on the outside.
We can see them, but they can't see us.
They really can't see us unless they really, like, you know, zoom in, be creepy. And Shanae's had a habit of doing that for, like, the first, what, 6 episodes, 7 episodes?
Yeah, where's she at? I haven't seen that
now,
girl in a while.
Now, with this girl, she's a... I don't know why. I mean, like, all of a sudden, she's an R-Truth fan, of all things. I mean
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong at all, but just, you know, anytime Sam and I brought up wrestling before this entire podcast started, oh, I like R-Truth, you know, he's going to become WWE champion when he's going to be John Cena, and we're like, you keep dreaming,
yeah.
honey. So what
I wonder if she liked R-Truth when he was heel in 2011.
Not only that, but I want to know, this is why I'm bringing this up. We're wondering, we have never asked her if she knows who Kay Quick is. Kay Quick
yeah.
is actually R-Truth. Back in the early 2000s, for example, if you were to watch the 2003 Royal Rumble, which, by the way, is in 2 weeks, go Blue Jays. I'm kidding. If you were to look at that...
What does that have to do with anything?
Nothing. If you were to look at that Royal Rumble, you will notice that R-Truth pops up as Kay Quick, as like in the 20s entrant.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask Janae. So if at any time she pops up in a window, we will stop what we're doing. So we could be in the middle of a Raw review. We could be in the middle of our pay-per-view review. We're going to stop what we're doing. We're going to drag her inside. We're going to turn on her. We have a third microphone in here. It's not used. It's just sitting there getting dust. We will turn on the third mic, ask her the one question. That's all we're going to do. Then we're going to politely kick her out and go on with the show.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously very important content, right? And I think it's a question that's been looming over us for many weeks here.
At least us. I mean, like, for those of you, as you're slowly starting to tune in, and if you look at our listen to our old episodes, you'll realize that this shit popped up a lot.
It's a really common trend, like, it's for like, newer fans, obviously, to not know about a wrestler's past or a character's past. You know
right.
What I mean?
So it's funny to see that. So we'll see how that goes. And yeah. So Janice, if you're listening, I would recommend you pop up anytime soon.
Well, now she knows if she's listening.
If she's listening, yeah.
So we're screwed. Basically, we kind of just gave it away.
Wow, this backfired completely. Okay.
You
so
better hope she has listened.
We're
to
hoping
this
she's not at least this episode. So yeah, if she pops up, we can ask her the question: who is Kay Quick? In fact, the minute she walks in, I'll put in the music for R2's entrance. I'll give her everything. I'll give her the proper intro, and we'll see how that goes. All right, now.
And now, after the count presents.
The every day, every week, not every day, every week.
If Raw was every day, I'd be so happy.
That'd be amazing. But it's our Raw review, and this was an interesting one. This one got my blood pumping.
Yeah, this was a pretty sweet Raw, actually.
Mainly because there was a lot of.
They finally started building up to the Royal Rumble with 2 weeks to go, I find.
I mean, not just that, but there was a lot of, like, shock moments.
Yeah.
More shock moments than you've seen in the past, like, month.
Mainly the tagline that I put in the Divas match is what you were most shocked about.
No, that's the one. Now that you brought that up, yeah, it's about AJ. We'll get to her in a little bit. So we're going to kick things off right. The Usos got Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan by disqualification. Harpin and Rowan attacked the Usos, and they escaped the sacrifice, and Daniel Bryan offers himself up. What a nice guy, huh?
I mean, here's the thing. Jeez, Daniel Bryan, what are you doing here, bro? You know, you joined the Wyatt family to everybody's surprise, and now you're offering yourself up as a sacrifice. This can't be the right path for you to go down.
I guess not. You know, I mean, and everybody wants him to win the Rumble. Everybody, at least I do especially, wants to see him. So it's like, you know, the fans is like, what are you doing? What is the point of this?
Here I am on my couch for the past, you know, few weeks since Daniel Bryan's joined the Wyatt family. Every time they open up the show, and every time after the match, I'm sitting there saying, why aren't they winning? Why are we having Daniel Bryan join the Wyatt family and have them not win? And I guess they were doing that to set up something that would take place later on in the show. Obviously, if you are a fan, you've already seen Ron. You know what we're talking about.
I mean, I'll never forget being in Ottawa and hearing that news that he joined the Wyatts. I still don't get it. So, yeah, that was a simple match. And, of course, after that, they announced that later on in the night, which ended up being the main event, that they're going to be put in a steel cage because, you know, we can't see steel cages. Well, actually, they hit it pretty well this time, didn't they?
Yeah, actually, I only knew there would be a steel cage match because I read a correspondence note on a wrestling site that there was a steel cage hanging over the ring in Providence.
Really? I mean, when I first looked at the script, and, like, when I tuned in, right, and I saw, like, then when, like...
It didn't really look like it, no.
No, after they announced it, then you look up and you're like, oh, yeah, there's the big covering of the steel cage. They hit that pretty well.
Yeah.
So, good for the WWE to do that, keeping up on their
steel cage. Honestly, I'm so happy for the Usos that they're getting more airtime now. You know what I mean? They're probably one of the most underrated teams in WWE, if not the most underrated. They're amazing athletes, man, and I feel like the fact that they haven't been tag team champions, at least for a little bit now, it concerns me. And I guess we'll see, you know, after that potential looming Rhodes Brothers breakup, who will step up to become the new tag team champions. But that's a story for another day.
We'll see how we go. Yeah, there's no tag match made yet. We're still waiting to see if there is a tag match at the Royal Rumble.
I assume not. No. They are both in the Rumble match. But that's the thing. With the Royal Rumble, you have so much of your roster in the match that, you know, it's sometimes you do have to have them compete twice on the same night, you know?
Okay. Moving on.
Up next.
No, something just happened, guys. That's why. Sorry. Okay, so next match was a surprise.
Yeah, actually, amazing match. John Cena took on Damian Sandow, and I'm thinking, okay, Sandow's not on the card. Yes, I'm sure he'll be in the Rumble match, but Cena's fighting for the world title. Here comes a big squash match because this is Cena's first match on Raw in the new year, right? So I'm thinking 3 minutes at the most.
Fun fact, these two are the only two losers to fail to cash in their money in the bank. Go on.
And now the two losers face each other.
Suckers.
And someone has to win. You know you're at the bottom.
And you know that is not to win another contract opportunity.
No.
Championship, rather.
Nonetheless, this was a really competitive match. John Cena and Damian Sandow do have really good chemistry together. And I think some of Damian Sandow's skills that he showed in this matchup prove that Sandow deserves a higher spot on the roster.
Right, right. Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Sandow's underrated. Nobody believes me.
I believe you.
Well,
I'm with you on that
one. Thank you.
And, you know, after the preconceived thought, what the hell is
that
guy doing?
What the heck is this?
I wish you guys could see what people at our school do sometimes.
Every now and then, guys. I
don't even know what was on that guy's head.
Yes,
was
I mean,
like an elephant.
We try to stay as focused as we can to this wrestling podcast. But when you see somebody with a pillow on their head walking by our room, it doesn't make any sense.
And he just did some weird like dance.
Oh, see Sandow, get him.
Yeah, I over you. You are over him, Sandow. Silence!
All right. Back to the show.
Cena ended up winning, which obviously I expected, but I expected it to happen a lot sooner, and I'm glad they didn't squash Sandow by any means necessary. Very back-and-forth matchup, and Cena looks good heading into his match in a couple of weeks. He looks strong, and I'm just glad that Sandow had a good showing.
I agree. All right, the next one, so... Big Show defeated Jack Swagger, and before we go on with the match, I would just love to point out that sign that he had.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? You are a big part of the problem.
You're a big part of the problem.
I cannot stop laughing.
You know,
Steph Coulter has had some
Big Show. Right?
He's had some funny signs as of late. That guy is really. I mean, well, they're creative with the character for sure.
Oh yeah, I always wanted to be there when the real Americans like threw their flags.
Didn't they throw them in Toronto?
Yeah, but I always wanted to be, like, closer, like, maybe in the front row or something, and then they mess up and I catch their flag. Then I'll be a true member of the real Americans. My biggest dream would come true.
Now, apart from the sign, yes, Big Show beat Swagger. And
This was a squash.
Yeah,
this was like 30 seconds.
He gave Zeb, like, a little present.
Yeah, you know, that was totally uncalled for. I will be calling the Elder Abuse Hotline because Zeb Coulter is an elderly man, and he does not deserve that kind of treatment. Big Show, you will be fined, and there will be some serious hell to pay.
Yeah,
so I hope you're listening, Paul White.
That's a scrap. Yeah, so he knocked him out, and there was actually a WWE Backstage Pass video on YouTube. Renee Young interviewing the Real Americans, and you see Zeb Coulter just all confused.
He's still knocked out.
He kept saying, incoming. So.
Well, yeah, it's the didn't they call it like the WMD at one point, his knockout punch? I'm pretty sure they did, like a couple years ago. They called it like, what did it even stand for? Like the
I was just about to ask you, what does that
WMD
stand for?
Or something like that. Oh, yeah, like a... Something about a weapon of mass destruction or something like that.
A weapon of mass destruction. Yeah, well, it could be. Yeah, and then the next one is one of the bigger matches of the evening.
Yeah, this was actually a rematch from this Friday's SmackDown, and it saw CM Punk team up with the New Age Outlaws to take on the Shield in six-man tag team action. And, you know, here are the New Age Outlaws returning on Old School Raw last week, and I'm thinking, okay, great, we'll see. It's fun to see them, but I never expect them to come back for any length of time.
Yeah.
But here they are working three televised shows in a row, and we'll talk about this later, but they will be working a fourth in a row.
They will, yeah. I mean, Goldust, when Goldust came back last year, right, when he came back to Toronto, suckers, when he came back to Toronto, you know, it was like, it was fun to see. We're like, great, he's sticking up for his brother. We probably won't see him again. And then a battleground. Then he ends up keeping the job, and he's still with us. And he's
still.
And then
the following night on Raw, a couple weeks later on Raw, they end up winning the tag.
Which meant that we're going to keep Goldust for a while. And now you see the New Age Outlaws. It's like, all of a sudden, is it a trend to bring back veterans?
Here's the difference between WWE and TNA. When TNA brings back veterans, they bring back guys who can barely walk, like Hulk Hogan. Ric Flair, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall. I love those guys. I respect those guys. Those guys were the biggest stars of the 90s, and I love WCW. I loved it so much.
Right.
But they're past it now, and we can't deny that.
I mean,
when WWE brings back veterans,
they can still go.
They bring back the good ones, like the Ass Man, Billy Gunn,
the Road Dogg. The Road Dogg.
Road Dogg, Jesse James.
I mean, thank you. When he came back, I mean, like, sure, people like Sergeant Slaughter, Roddy Piper, May Knight, DDP. Barely.
Here's the thing. You don't see WWE forcing those guys into matches like TNA did to the other stars who had no right being in the ring.
I mean, for example, look at Too Cool, right? Rikishi, right? They came back. They were still great. Mm-hmm. As if they never left. Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, the same thing, surprisingly. Yeah. And they're doing a lot better than he did.
Oh, yeah. I was really surprised, actually. Sky Too Hot. You know, Rikishi looked a bit slow. But, I mean, Sky Too Hot and Grandmaster Sexay, they looked like, you know, other than maybe a little bit of aging on the face, I felt like I was watching SmackDown in 2004, you know?
Now, yes, and the New Age Outlaws came back and wrestled, put up a pretty good fight. They also were up to their old tricks again.
Yeah.
And they dropped Punk. I couldn't believe it.
I mean, anyone who was once friends with Triple H, you can now assume that they will be a part of the Authority. They will be there to do Triple H's dirty work, and that was the same case for the New Age Outlaws.
The funny thing is, I actually didn't think of that at first.
Really?
And I had Frank
I didn't think of it either, because their match on SmackDown ended cleanly.
No, but I mean, like, the drop.
Oh, I see.
The drop, happens. I didn't think of Triple H. And then now I'm like, okay, probably Authority.
Well, the same thing went for Shawn Michaels when he was guest referee and Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan at Hell in a Cell.
And then the kick.
You know, so, yeah, sure, maybe they don't agree with it. But in the end of the day, Triple H is one of their best friends. And they're going to do what's best for business.
Yep.
Hashtag that.
So S.H.I.E.L.D. comes up with the victory. Roman Reigns with another
devastating spear.
I'm telling you, that guy's going to be big at the Rumble. He should be in.
I feel like he might break Kane's record or something, you know?
Do you think, like, in a single Rumble?
I don't know.
You think he's going to throw out at least 12 superstars
the Rumble? I think it's time. I think it's time for someone to break that. That, what was that, 2001?
Yep.
I can't believe Kane was the final guy with Austin.
It makes you wish that he won the Rumble. But
I love Kane, but he never got, like, he never... Nothing ever came to him, you know what I mean? Like,
he was just a big, destructible monster.
Never amounted to much, is what I meant.
No. The Divas match. Divas. Dolls. AJ and Tamina defeated the Funkadactyls. Naomi came out surprisingly strong. You can't deny that. Naomi did pretty good.
The Funkadactyls are okay.
Right? And then, you know, after the match, Funkadactyls kind of snapped, and they beat up AJ and Tamina. Of all things to do, they snapped. And I'm telling you, Naomi... stuck out pretty big. That's what I'm saying, right? I mean, yeah, AJ is pretty good. We already knew that. But Naomi kind of...
Yeah, I feel like AJ and Tamina are a really good team.
Right.
I feel like when Layla joined AJ, that didn't really do much for either of them. So I'm glad they kind of split that up. Mm-hmm. They realized that, and they put Tamina in Layla's spot to be AJ's, you know, bodyguard, so to speak.
Right. Now, the rumor with AJ, the lovely...
This is what we're excited about.
The lovely little rumor with AJ... well, it's good news and bad news. The bad news is it's not Playboy. Obviously not. The good news is she might be on the cover.
This is in 1998.
Fair enough. She might
be
on the cover.
She's not Sable. Sorry. Keep going.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, remember when Sable and Tori Wilson did that? Like, they had the same cover?
We have to keep this PG.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I don't know what Playboy is. What is that?
Oh, jeez. Our younger viewers might be confused right now. Review discretion is advised. Now we're
don't
you
go into
warning.
Your parents' bathroom, kids. I'm sorry. That was out of line.
So yes, the rumor is that she might be appearing. She might be appearing on Maxim magazine. There's a poll going around. Sam, you know more information about this?
Yeah, I was just doing my usual daily roundup of wrestling news, and I came across a headline that said that AJ was currently leading a fan vote on who they wanted to see be on the cover of Maxim, and obviously inside Maxim as well. One other competitor's name that stood out to me was Misha Tate, who is a female UFC fighter. Nowhere near as attractive as AJ.
Yep.
And also, I mean, we're fan. I enjoy the UFC. I watch UFC, but
really
not the same as I do for
the WWE.
Wrestling. You know, it's not the same kind of passion.
So
I feel like we're not the only two guys who would be excited to see AJ and Max.
If it's true, I mean, if it does happen, after Cam will give you a play-by-play of that, I guess.
So time to get very mad and disappointed. Because up next on Raw...
Wait, I wasn't disappointed at this. I was surprised.
I was disappointed.
Well, of course you would be.
I just don't get it. I mean, here's the thing. At least they're taking a different approach here. Kofi Kingston is coming up in a one-on-one match against Randy Orton. I say, okay, Cena beats Sandow, Orton beats Kofi.
Boom.
The two guys that matter go over, and they look good in their match in 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
But after a slow, methodical beatdown by Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston just won't stay down.
Yeah, you're blowing up my ears here.
I'm sorry. You know how I get.
Yeah,
when I get mad.
Yeah, and Kofi Kingston defeats Orton. I mean, I was just like on my laptop, like just another match. Obviously, what's gonna happen? Orton's gonna win. And then I look over to my right as I'm like watching the match. And all of a sudden, the roll up. I'm like, wait, whoa. And then the cover, the pinfall, and he just runs out of there as though like he won a Super Bowl, which is in 3 weeks. But I was just like, what the heck? I mean, SOS indeed for Orton.
Yeah, no question. I just think what... Okay, so...
There's a whole lot for the Royal Rumble in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Is this... What are they trying to get out of this? Are they trying to... is Orton going to get really frustrated? Are they doing an angle where Orton is so frustrated he can't focus on the title match and that's why he ends up losing? Do they not want him to lose cleanly with a clear mind? You know, does he have to have something else going on?
I hope not.
Here's the thing. Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, upon their latest return, have said that Brock Lesnar wants to fight the WWE champion
and
after the Royal Rumble.
And that's why I'm concerned for WrestleMania, because it's right now, Cena, Orton, and potentially Lesnar, all right? Now, for me, I would want Orton to win at the Elimination Chamber, Daniel Bryan to win at the Rumble and get his revenge at WrestleMania. But
I don't think they're going to do that.
Exactly.
I
don't know. Well, it makes sense. There was the break in between, kind of rings everything up again, you know?
I just think it was the main event of a pay-per-view of two smaller pay-per-views on the schedule. I just don't... I mean, hey, I would love to see it. I really enjoyed that.
The break, right? And why wouldn't you cap it off and go back to that? Because, I mean, it kind of ended off on a sour note.
I thought it ended off great.
Well, of course you did.
With Shawn Michaels screwing Daniel Bryan,
right?
And the authority reigning supreme.
So that's why I'm like, you know, when Daniel Bryan comes back to the reality, like, wait a minute, I got another shot again. And to become the unified this time, it's a lot more on the line.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I don't want to see Cena in the title match. And I don't want to see Lesnar in the title match at WrestleMania. And now that Batista's coming back, which is this Monday...
Everyone thinks also Batista Orton could happen as well.
And they're saying he could win the Rumble. And if he wins the Rumble, I will break my own TV in my room.
I'm really excited for in the Rumble? A potential meeting between Batista and Roman Reigns.
Oh, Lord.
That's
going to be
epic. They're both going to spear each other out of the ring. And they'll eliminate each other. And then who will be left standing? None other than Santino Marella. Remember when he was the final guy with Del Rio?
If he won that Rumble...
I was so scared that he was going to win.
Really?
I was so scared. I was like, oh, my God. They're going to swerve us, and they're going to have Santino win. And then, like, lose it at Elimination Chamber or something, you know? Because, like, sometimes, you know,
it happened to Rey Mysterio in 2006, and then Theodore Long added him in after.
Yeah, he made the triple threat. That was a good match.
You know, but anyway, oh, my God. If Santino won that Rumble, I would not get over it.
I mean, I hate Del Rio now, too, but I would much rather him win than Santino.
Anyway, so...
I didn't hate Del Rio.
Yeah, so
then.
Orton loses. Potential foreshadowing for the Rumble. I would be going for Orton at the Rumble.
Yeah, I would be pulling for
to avoid the whole Cena thing again. Because, I mean, yeah, the face of the WWE, although it's kind of obvious that fans really forgot about Cena now. And are more focused on Daniel Bryan, if you ask me.
Yeah, the WWE title has really taken a back seat in the promotion here, you know?
It really did.
And it often does. Not, it didn't last year at this time because The Rock was returning to fight CM Punk, but I can understand how it would take a backseat to the actual Royal Rumble match.
Yeah, because the Rumble's probably bigger than it was in the past couple of years.
And I think it will main event this time. I don't think we'll see
a WWE
title match.
Think about it. Like, I mean, at this time last year, the leak came out for Cena Rock at WrestleMania, which kind of got fans disappointed, which obviously was which got like people.
As soon as Cena won the Rumble match, you knew that Rock was going to beat Punk.
Yeah, I guess. But what I mean is, like, there was a rumor, but a couple weeks before the Rumble match happened, the rumor came out, the leak came out, Cena Orton at WrestleMania 29.
Mm-hmm.
And fans were like, what the hell? And then they hopefully it wasn't confirmed. And then when Cena won the Rumble, it's like, oh, crap. That's why fans were like as excited as we are in 2 weeks. No leaks have come out, not that we read of anyways. Nothing.
Other than that, like, whole Batista was supposed to return thing.
I feel bad for that movie. That was horrible. Next up, since we're going to go down this list here, what do we... Oh, yeah, Cody Rhodes and Goldust gets a Ryback Axel.
We should talk about...
What'd you say? Ryback Axel?
Team Ryback Axel.
And, yeah,
I wanted them to be called Axe Back.
The Twitter...
Yes.
The Twitter rampage.
Yeah.
On Saturday night, I was at a party. You know, yes, I was at a party having a good time with my
you and your parties.
I was at home.
It was wrestling.
It was a staff holiday party, a Christmas party, pretty much. That's way overdue. Anyway, so I'm with my coworkers, you know, having a good time.
Christmas. It's January. It's like the middle of January.
Don't blame my company. Okay, so we're there having a good time, and I'm looking at my Twitter because I got pretty tired from the dance floor, and all of a sudden, I see news of Ryback is released. And I'm just like, what the heck? And I went to the After the Count Twitter page because you do follow the more wrestling accounts and everybody's saying the same thing. I'm like, that can't be. Out of nowhere, it's like a horrible time to throw somebody off, especially knowing
before
that
the Rumble. Yeah.
The big four, one of the big four pay-per-views is coming up.
And you knew something really bad must have had to happen.
Ryback deleted his tweets and you're thinking, okay, drug bust or, you know, alcohol abuse, something.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, even worse.
I mean, right. He looks like he's on the chase.
Probably. Anyway, so yeah, like all that happened. And then Monday night, you see the Rose Brothers come out. Right, let's see who they're going to face. And then Ryback's music came. We're like, what?
That's the thing. Ryback swerved all of you. Who doesn't like the big guy? No one cannot like the big guy now. Because you know why? Ryback rules. And that's how it's going to be for a long time.
You're still the only one who thinks that.
No, I'm not the only Ryback fan. But Ryback, if you're listening to me right now, number one fan, bro, let's go work out sometime together.
So, yeah, like, he kind of throws everybody off, pops out. He's like, oh, happy. And I texted Sam. I'm like, what?
Here's the thing.
I was so surprised. I was like, brilliant, brilliant work.
He worked the house show in Buffalo on Saturday. He worked the house show in Montreal on Sunday. So everyone was really confused. Everyone's like, okay, he's not released. He's working house shows. And then he worked Monday Night Raw. And the funny thing is, the commentators actually mentioned his Twitter rampage. Michael Cole actually said, this guy is nuts. He's going on Twitter. And hey, you know what? In wrestling, a heel is supposed to get a negative reaction out of the people.
And now that you're on social media, you got to find another way. And what better way to get people off than
honestly,
on the internet?
One of the best heel tactics I've seen in a long time. Ryback is an amazing heel. So much better than a face. I just hope they give him a damn push because he sure as hell deserves it. Based on the reaction that he got out of the fans this past weekend. Ryback, you rule, brother.
Yep. So that's that. What else
we have? Up next, we had another battle of the Mexican heritage when Alberto Del Rio took on Rey Mysterio.
Hey, Del Rio.
All right, next. I know. I was not excited to see this match.
If we have to summarize it,
two really stale guys, to be honest. I'm just so bored of both
Mysterio's
of them.
Yeah, Mysterio's way out of his prime. Poor guy. It sucks.
I don't blame him. I mean, whatever. It happens.
I know, but that guy, he started in WCW so early, late 90s. He's been in the business a lot more than I thought he did.
Oh, yeah.
Than I thought he was, rather.
He's just, hanging on for one more go-around. I don't blame the guy. I mean, that's the thing. Del Rio's relatively new to WWE, and he's the pace that he got incredibly stale at was so fast.
Yep.
Compared to a guy like Mysterio, so that goes to show you how much I dislike Del Rio.
Mysterio, like what, debuted in 2002, took him 4 years to win his first world title. Right. That was exciting at WrestleMania 22.
Yeah.
And Del Rio called out Batista again. I don't get that. That is... When I look at those promos, I'm just like...
All it is...
What are you doing, WWE?
Del Rio will probably enter the Rumble before Batista does. And then when he does, the first thing that Batista does will eliminate Del Rio to make him look really strong. That's all it's setting up for. You know Del Rio's not going to go over Batista. And if he does, somebody's going to get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Mark Henry. Oh, Jesus. His theme song. No, he's not going to get his ass kicked. I cannot kick Mark Henry's ass.
So, I mean, like, because when I look, listen to his promos, it's like, Batista did, literally didn't do anything to you. I mean, yeah, that, this is the wrestling fan talking into me, talking right now, right? He didn't do anything. He's just happy to come back, and all of a sudden you're bashing him. For what? You're going to get, like, your ass kicked next week.
Six days
to the beating. Hip, hip, six days. And the last one, the last match of the night, the steel cage match was, oh, what an ending. Oh, thank goodness for the ending. Usos got their push. They, in the main event, win the steel cage. Very exciting. Kane, but actually, before the match happened, announced, I'm going to, like, keep a lock on the door so nobody can get out through the door. You can win by escape, but it can only be over the cage or pinfall or submission.
Quick question.
Shoot.
Do you like the new steel cage? This was the steel cage that debuted at the 2013 Extreme Rules show.
I'll be honest with you. I don't see a difference.
Really?
Maybe it's because I haven't seen a steel cage match in a long time. But it's the top part. I remember, like, back in my day, it was, like, a bit wider, like, edge at the top.
See if you
was
can this, find
was
the picture.
Was it smaller?
This one, I don't know if it's actually, but by design, it looks smaller, this one.
Because I feel like I know what fans are talking about with sleek.
It's very sleek. It's cleaner looking.
Right.
I think it looks more modern. It's just a new, fresh design after having that same steel cage for so long. I really wish they had brought it to the house show in Toronto, but instead we got that really crappy steel cage that they put up in between.
They build up, right?
You know, yeah. They just bring them out on these rollers and attach them to the side of the ring.
Okay, here we go. So this is why it's handy to have your laptop on you during your podcasts, because stuff like this happens. And okay, so this must be the old one. Okay, no, that's a more recent one. Okay. I get what you're saying. It's the front, like the edge of it is a little bit more in, isn't it?
Yeah, and isn't on the new one, on the side, it's three panels, and on the old one, it was just one big panel on the side, like on the flat sides of the ring.
That's pretty cool. There's a playset. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, it is a playset.
By Mattel?
Gotcha. Okay, so...
The old one was one thing, right? And now the new one's three panels, I'm pretty sure.
I think so. Oh, yeah. Yeah, now I know what you're saying.
I don't think it's necessarily better. Or I don't think the old one was worse. It's just new. It's fresh. I like anything new.
Nonetheless, you know? When you get your head thrown to the steel, it hurts.
It's going to hurt. 10 tons of solid steel designed to punish the human body.
My goodness.
No, sorry. Yes. That was Elimination Chamber.
So, which Eric Bischoff introduced very well for the record.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. They used his voice ever since for that promo.
And, so he beats him, and then this was the interesting thing. Bray Wyatt is locked inside a cage with Daniel Bryan by himself with the referee. Okay. With the referee, and it was like he just snapped. Daniel Bryan threw everything out of the way completely. Forget like the 2 week build up with the whole Wyatt kind of throws away New Year's, and he just beat the living hell out of Bray.
Bray wanted Daniel to offer himself up as a sacrifice again. You know, every time that the Wyatts don't win, Bray seems to say, oh, well, it must be you, Daniel, because you're the only new thing, you know, that's happened to us in the past few weeks. But Rowan and Harper lost a lot before, too, and we never saw that.
Exactly. So, yeah, so he offers him up for the sacrifice.
And Bryan says, no, no, no,
no, no. He takes off the that stupid... What was it?
It looked like a janitor's outfit or something. Or like a plumber's uniform. Probably. Did not suit Daniel Bryan, nonetheless.
Anyway, so he takes that off, gets back in his old attire, and he just starts kicking the heck out of Bray, goes to the top of the cage, and you have one of your best crowds and one of the bigger crowds, the best crowds, like the great way to start off 2014 crowd-wise. And it was just a crazy yes.
We'll go on a quick note and say it was a very hot crowd throughout the night. Providence is obviously a great wrestling town. And here's the thing. Why did they do this? Was this their plan all along? Or was this, oh, wow, Daniel Bryan's not getting much of a reaction as a part of the Wyatt family. Screw this. You know, we need to sell some T-shirts. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That or – I don't know, but – That was huge. I mean, that crowd, there's GIFs of it all over the internet, and it's just the entire crowd synchronized. Yes. Yes.
That was a moment in WWE history, you know? That was a feel-good moment that a lot of fans will never forget.
So it's kind of like, you know, like Frank said after he saw it, because he got a taping, he needs to win the Rumble. I really, really hope he wins that Rumble. And if he doesn't, we riot. Simple.
I would still want to see Punk Bryan. If it's possible, I would still want to see Punk Bryan at Mania.
That's what I thought, but with the way it's going now, how would that fit in?
I think Punk's got to fight Hunter at Triple H. Sorry,
at WrestleMania?
At WrestleMania. I think that's what they're building
up
to.
It makes sense, sure. So that was that. So what do you guys think of Raw? Thumbs up. Fans.
Oh, yeah. Great Raw. The 3 hours went by really quickly. Some weeks.
Are you kidding me? Every now and then I look at these 3 hour shows and I'm still like almost falling asleep. They really got to cut it down. I mean, great content, but they got to cut it down.
I don't think there's many people out there who think a 3 hour Raw is absolutely necessary. It's not. 2 hours is more than enough. But if you can say the more hours you say you have, the better it looks for you and your advertisers. And I get it, you know.
Yep.
But I was thoroughly entertained by this week's Raw. 2 thumbs up for me.
Yep. So, same here. So I'm losing stuff here. I'm losing touch here. So what do you guys think? Tweet us at After the Count. You know the drill. Let us know what you guys thought. We'll see what you guys say. Hopefully you guys agree with us because it was a pretty good Raw. For once, we're actually going to preview SmackDown. For once.
I mean, just because there was an interesting matchup.
There was a one matchup in Drew. So New Age Outlaws draw Punk and they get into a tag team opportunity. And
apparently, when you leave your partner high and dry, that earns you a tag team title shot in the
WWE.
It's a title shot.
I mean, I knew they were facing it, but if that's a title shot, and if they win, oh my goodness.
The New Age Outlaws will get a shot at Cody Rhodes and Goldust tag team titles this Friday, 8/7 Central on Sci-Fi. Unless you live in Canada, then it is on Sportsnet 360.
I was going to say the score.
Not anymore, bro.
Now, if they win, they were 5-time tag team champions of the world, right? New Age Outlaws?
The 5-time
tag team champions of the world.
Was it 5?
I think it was 5.
Multiple. Let's stick with that for now. We will clarify that.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. The 5-time tag team. It's going to be weird to hear 6.
I don't think they're going to win the belts.
No, obviously not.
I think maybe Punk just goes all out and causes a DQ and beats the crap out of both of them.
And that was your...
And then the Rhodes brothers turn heel and join the Authority. Yeah! No, just kidding. That's not going to happen.
And that was your SmackDown preview. That was exciting.
I'm pumped. I watch SmackDown every
week. I do stuff Friday night, so I don't keep track of SmackDown. Now, this is our next segment. As you noticed, we do a review, and then our segment would be anything random. This one is actually enjoyable because...
I enjoy all our segments. Hey, I make those segments up. And now I know you don't enjoy them. I'm sad.
Well, this is an exciting one, at least, from the show that we have. The first announcement to the WWE Hall of Fame. Yes, that is the old Hall of Fame theme song playing right now. I miss that theme.
I can't hear it. You liar.
You'll hear it. You can hear it now. It's edited in.
Oh, so it's not there yet. I see.
Jeez. Anyways, before we go on, before like Sam brings up, so we record this first and then we add in our sounds. But yes, that is a Hall of Fame theme. You ruined it. Okay, now it's going to come back.
Which one? Da, da,
da, da, yes, that one. What else do you think?
Oh, I like that song.
The first Hall of Fame announcement, and I am so happy with the first pick in the 2014 Hall of Fame draft. The WWE selected the Ultimate Warrior. I cannot believe it. I jumped.
He was my first guess. There's not a lot of guys who
he wasn't
left.
My first guess.
He was for this year. If for a big name to go in, he was my first guess. The reason why is that he was already doing a lot of promotional work with WWE for their 2K14 video game, which means it's not the same level. You know, I'm sure you could do a lot more with 2K on bad terms than you could do with Vince at head office. You know,
right.
But I think. You know, to be involved with a WWE product like this very successful video game, you got to be on decent terms with the company. And that's why I thought, okay, you know, he's already done a lot of promotional work for the video game, Ultimate Warrior.
It had to be for a reason.
Right. I think this makes sense.
No, but I mean, my first pick was going to be Paul Bearer. It was going to be Paul Bearer. That's why.
I think he deserves to go into.
I mean, like, he didn't go into the Hall of Fame last year because of because it was too soon to WrestleMania, right? But I really thought he was going to be the first one. So I said either Macho Man, which I highly doubt, and then Ultimate Warrior, which for some reason I doubted too because of the term thing. And then all of a sudden, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Congratulations to the Ultimate Warrior. Of course, nobody can ever forget his WrestleMania 6 moment. Oh, yeah, Toronto as well.
Well, no one can ever forget his Halloween Havoc 1998 moment.
Does anybody realize the biggest things happen in Toronto? Huh? Anybody?
No, WWE doesn't even recognize us as a major city, even though we're the biggest one in Canada. And we always sell out.
It's always Montreal.
We're just a bunch of heel marks. That's why they don't want to bring it here, because we always cheer for the heels.
I don't... Yeah,
except for Daniel Bryan.
So, yeah, that's huge. Congratulations to them, to him. Who's going to be next? Who else do you think is going to be in the Hall of Fame? And I am still putting $20 on Owen Hart. I wish it was Owen Hart.
Yeah, I would love to see him in the Hall of Fame.
I really wish that, you know, we could, like... I mean, it is his wife making a decision from what all the reports
read. I just think it's... I understand.
No, 1,000%. I mean...
I feel like it's been enough time.
If you're a new listener, always so sad to bring this up. No matter what, you wish you had a time machine. The WWE back in 1999 had a pay-per-view called Over the Edge. Really, it was the second one of the year, second one actually of its time. And the Owen Hart had a gimmick called the
Blue Blazer.
The Blue Blazer. His entrances were to go from top of the rafters and fly in. And unfortunately, when he was preparing for his entrance, he faced the Godfather for the Intercontinental title. And he unfortunately fell 70 feet off the air in Kansas City. And they lost him. The WWE lost him. And to this day, it's like, you know, even though I wasn't that big of a fan in 99 as I was in 2001, right? It still sucks. Mm-hmm. It's not fun to hear. No, I'm not going to cry because it happened already. But it always, like I said, it makes you wish you had a time machine. You know, go to that section of the arena or go to Vince. I'm like, Vince, I come from the future. He's going to die in 5 minutes. You got to get him off that part now.
Just get rid of that stupid... That was such a stupid gimmick anyway. You know? That wasn't going to amount to anything. That's what sucks. He wasn't even doing anything cool.
Yeah.
You know?
He always loved to show off his slamming. So, fans, since his passing, of course, now the WWE... That's why one of the biggest reasons why they're not on good terms with the Harts. Now they are. Right? I would say. They're kind of on par with the Harts now.
Brett does got over the screw job. Now.
Came back in 2010, appeared at WrestleMania 26. And, of course, the fans are like, if you really want to get this big, you got to induct him into the Hall of Fame. Which, I guess, I mean, you know, of course, every time we think of the Hall of Fame, right, it's always like they have to be worthy of it. They have to have all these good stuff. But how many superstars have they brought in anyways? And say, like, you know, oh, it's just because we love the guy, right? That's why they're in the Hall of Fame. We all love Owen. So
yeah, I don't think there has to be... a certain criteria, you know, there doesn't have to be an entry requirement. I think, you know, someone who goes into the Hall of Fame is someone who has, you know, rich wrestling history and has put on a great show for the fans.
Who was over with the crowd, even if they didn't win much, right?
And that is guys like Paul Bearer. It's even guys, to be honest, not much in WWE, but in WCW, Diamond Dallas Page was a really big part of WCW, and he was a top face for a long time. I think he should go in the Hall of Fame eventually, too.
No, he's not in the Hall of Fame. Jake the Snake was another rumor.
Yeah.
And the fact that he appeared on Raw last week.
That could be a good
omen. Kind of brings a good chance. I mean, like, again, another superstar wasn't on good terms. He's had a crazy life, up and down. Fought a lot of demons, and DDP kind of helped him, for sure. And the fact that he came back on Raw with Damian, it's like he better show up in New Orleans for the Hall of Fame.
And the fact that, you know, they did that that promo at the end where he put the snake on Ambrose.
Even Ambrose was happy. You can tell he was happy.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that. Macho Man is another big one who, again, unfortunately wasn't on terms as well.
It's just the wrestling industry has changed a lot from what it used to be, you know.
For sure.
It's a different era. But I feel like it's time to forgive and forget. Because, you know, at the end of the day, wrestling, we're all in this together. Now the fans, the producers, the wrestlers, we're all in this together for one reason mainly, is because we just really like wrestling.
And now that Macho Man passed away as well, see, we're losing all these guys left and right. It makes you wish, you know, they were alive for the for that, you know? Makes you alive, which you were alive to like get inducted in the Hall of Fame. Because now that Macho Man's gone, it's like, what's going to happen? How is that going to work if they want to put him in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously won't be the same feeling, but I think nonetheless it's something that they should do out of respect for the guy because, you know, he put personal issues aside, Macho Man was pretty over.
In WrestleMania 4, 5, yeah. 6, 7. 7 was his WrestleMania moment, I believe, came in WrestleMania 7. When he reunited with Miss Elizabeth.
That was great.
Yes.
One of the best power couples in WWE.
One of the best managers for sure.
Oh, yeah.
The first lady.
Best female. Other than Vicky, obviously.
First lady as in, like, you know, the wife of the president.
Yeah, yeah.
The first lady of the World Wrestling Federation.
I mean, other than Vicky, Miss Elizabeth is the best.
Oh, yeah.
But Vicky, your number one sweetheart.
Oh, jeez. That's pretty much all the names. And, of course, they always do the celebrity thing, like Pete Rose, which I guess is the only Hall of Fame he's ever going to get close to. Drew Carey for participating in the 2001 Royal Rumble.
I can't believe they put Drew Carey in.
Oh, my God. I remember seeing him coming out. I saw that for the first time. I'm like, all right, here we go. Who's number four? And I see Drew Carey come. I'm like, oh, my God. And I pretty much JR took the words out of my mouth. I can't believe he's doing this. He's actually coming out here. Drew,
oh my God, chokeslam.
He didn't get chokeslam. No, he avoided it. He avoided it himself.
I thought he was going to get chokeslam.
So that's one of the biggest stars that we think should go in the Hall of Fame. Anything can happen. We'll see in the coming weeks. I'm sure they'll announce the next pick next week.
Yeah, here's the thing, guys. We got two more SmackDowns and one more Raw until the Royal Rumble next week. From Dayton, Ohio, I believe, at the Nutter Center, Batista will return live on Monday Night Raw, and that's a big deal for us. I miss the guy, and
I can't believe it's been 4 years.
Yeah, it's been a while, and it's going to be a huge turn, and we got, like I said, three more shows to build up the Rumble, and quick card update. I'm just going to do really quick here. We've got the 30-man Royal Rumble match, obviously, hence the name of the pay-per-view. We have Cena versus Orton in a regular matchup here. No climbing ladders, no chairs, no tables, no botched table finishes.
Yep.
This is a regular wrestling match. Who is the best man? We'll find out. And we also have Brock Lesnar taking on The Big Show. Which, probably not going to be the best technical matchup in the world, but nonetheless, Big Show and Brock Lesnar have had a lot of history together, and a lot of cool moments, like when the ring broke in 2003, I believe.
Oh, man. I will never forget that. And even, like, Taz swore, and he had to blur that out. Anyways, so that's that's After the Count. That's episode 12. Follow us on Twitter, at After the Count.
Yeah.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, After the Count.
If you guys have any ideas for segments that you want to see or any – if you guys want to send in questions that we can answer on the show, anything you guys want to hear on the show, we'll do it for you and, you know, within good reason, obviously. And we'll give you credit on air and stuff. We'll promote your Twitter page, whatever you want. Just let us know. And, you know, because we want to interact with you guys, the community, because that's what wrestling's all about, you know, just interacting with other fans and having a good time talking about the thing that we love to do.
And afterthecount.net.
Don't forget about that.
All right, so for Sam Pierce, I am Jose Tabuada. We will see you next week. Oh, before we go, hold.
Wow.
Sam, you're right there.
Hey.
Mason and Frank, if you're listening, we want to get the Big Four again.
The Big Four or a Big Four?
It is a Big Four.
It's really a Big Three now, so maybe.
Why a Big Three?
Oh. Well, because Survivor Series doesn't really count anymore.
Yeah, but I'm not going to have, unless you want Frank and Mason to fight.
Yeah, fight to the death over the last microphone.
Radio microphone on a pole match? First one to get their respective microphone wins?
That sounds very WCW-esque. They had so many on a pole matches.
You know what Frank is saying for our Royal Rumble party? He wants to have a six-man tag match with my brother as a special guest referee. And we'll use, like, my friend, his brother, and we'll have a big Mason's a referee, and then everybody else gets in on the fight.
Like we have to physically fight each other?
That's what the proposed plan is.
Is it a work, or is it a shoot?
Well, so there you go. So Mason, Frank, we hope you're listening. We hope to see you guys next week. We'll hope to see them there. Sam Pierce, I'm Jose Tabuada. We will see you next week. See ya.